Hello there, you're very welcome to the latest audio walk from Open Country. My name's Tom and it's lovely to have you along with me today as we explore the area around the village of Saltaire on the outskirts of Bradford in West Yorkshire. Saltaire is what's known as a model village. It was built during the Industrial Revolution by quite an inspirational man called Sir Titus Salt, who believed that a happy workforce was a productive workforce. So he built a mill, and around it he built a whole village for its workers and their families. He believed that if everybody stayed in this community, they would not only live much happier lives, they would be much more productive in doing their work that he wanted them to do in his mill. It was one of the first examples of one of these modern villages in the country. Today, it's sort of been engulfed by the suburbs of Bradford, but yet it still has this quite quirky, unique feel to it, which hopefully I'll put across as we walk around today. Our walk's going to take us out along the River Aire and then back in towards the village along the Leeds-Liverpool Canal. And when we get to the halfway point, we'll meet a lovely area of woodland called Hurst Wood, which is absolutely stunning in the autumn, although as I record this, it's the middle of December, so we're not going to have autumn colours, but yet it still should be very atmospheric. So without further ado, let's put our best foot forward and start the walk. Our walk begins in Roberts Park, which is a large park on the north side of the river in Saltaire. The main village itself sits on the south side of the river, and Sir Titus Salt built it this way because he wanted the park and recreational area to be separate so the workers and their families could escape that very urban industrial feel to their everyday lives. Today, a lot of the fields have been built on by housing estates, but to my right, as I look up towards the top of the hill, it's just a sea of trees. It's a hill known as Shipley Glen, which is one of the areas that is probably very similar to what it was like when the village was originally built. Although since then they've installed a little quirky tramway which is gravity driven, which I have many happy memories from my childhood going up and down on that. In the centre of the park there's a huge statue dedicated to the man himself, Sir Titus Salt, as he looks proudly over his creation in bronze. It's a lovely open area of parkland. It's dominated at the bottom by the riverside by a cricket pitch with a beautiful white pavilion. And around there's all these ornamental gardens, and at either end there's some shelters where you can just sit and have a bit of a relax and contemplate your surroundings. It's also quite rich in wildlife as well. As I've walked through, I've seen a squirrel hopping across in front of me, heard quite a few magpies and jackdaws and crows flying around as well, and a few smaller birds such as great tits and robins just perching above me in the trees as if to say, "What are you doing here?" Our walk's going to take us away from the park now, briefly, as we follow the bank of the River Aire, which is actually quite full at the moment. We have had a lot of rain recently, and we'll pick up the trail a bit further on, out towards Hurst Wood. You may be able to hear the raging torrent of a weir in the background. It spans the whole width of the river and the water is flowing really fastly over it. It's quite dramatic to watch. Beyond the weir, it's quite different, although the river is still high. It's much calmer, and there's some beautiful reflections of some weeping willow trees that are hanging over the edge of the riverbank, almost reaching towards the water. At this time of year, because of course they don't have any leaves, but they've got those very iconic drooping branches. They're also quite yellowy in colour, and it just adds a soft splash of colour and tonal contrast to the landscape. And with it being winter, the sun is out today, but it's still a very soft light, and it just makes these trees glow so beautifully. Now, it wouldn't be an open country audio walk if we were walking along a river and I didn't mention the K word, kingfisher. The river is running very fast today, so I doubt we will see one. But maybe as we push up and get to the calmer waters, I'll definitely keep my eye open to see if I see that flash of blue or hear that shrill peeping sound. If I do, of course, you'll be the first to know. We've left the rush of the weir behind now. We've ventured a bit further upstream, and I've stood under a beautiful alder tree. In fact, there's three or four alder trees in a long line all next to one another at this side of the bank. And the river is so high, it looks like they're almost growing out of the water. These gnarly looking trunks covered with lichen and moss just rising into the air. Water is sort of a muddy brown colour as well because of all the silt that's been washed down from the hills beyond in the Yorkshire Dales. The River Aire's source is near Malham Tarn, which is in the heart of the Yorkshire Dales National Park. By the time it's got to us here in Saltaire, it's much wider, of course, and much more prominent on the landscape. On the opposite side of the river, I can see some beehives. Obviously quite quiet at this time of the year, but must be quite a hum during the spring and summer months. And a jay has just decided to land on a branch just opposite me on the other side of the bank of the river. And it's flying off now, just onto another alder tree at the other side of the river. Beautiful. Quite colourful birds related to crows and magpies. Sort of a salmon pink colour with dashes of white and blue and black. I didn't used to see very many, but I think I've seen more over the last couple of years than I've seen in my whole life before. They seem to be really quite abundant at the moment, which is always good to see. Anyway, we're going to carry on to the next river crossing over a bridge over the River Aire, and we'll then head into Hurst Wood. Now crossed the bridge over the river and turned into Hurst Wood, which runs alongside the railway line between Bradford and Skipton, and it's quite a busy railway line. We just heard a train go past there, and as I've been walking along, I've heard quite a few go past. Before I tell you about this wood, I just want to share with you a couple more wildlife encounters that I've had since I last recorded. The first is barely believable, but I suddenly saw four herons fly overhead, and usually they're just quite solitary birds, but I looked across into the field where I thought they'd landed and saw not just one, not just two, but actually 15 herons just all roosting in this field. You might think that I make some of these things up for dramatic effect on these audio walks, but I kid you not. The other encounter, which you probably just heard before this section of you listening to me, a huge bush full of house sparrows tittering away. As I walked past, I just shoved my phone into this bush to try and get the best recording I could. And as I did, a chap walked past and gave me a very funny look, as if to say, "Why are you holding your phone out into a bush?" Anyway, it was worth it to get the recording. So Hurst Wood is a dense area of deciduous woodland. There's a mixture of beech, oak, silver birch next to me. And of course, at this time of year, there aren't very many leaves on the trees. And the only bit of green showing through are a few brambles scattering across the floor and some holly trees as well, very seasonal for this time of year, although not very many have berries on, although I can see a few out of the corner of my eye. It's a very established area of woodland. The trees are humongous in certain parts and prove to be quite the habitat for the squirrels. I can just see one above me sat in the crux of a branch in a tree trunk. Almost looks as if it's listening to me intently, but I'm sure it's not. I'm sure it's got other things on its mind, like where did I bury that last acorn? It is a beautiful area of woodland, but it will be all over sooner than we think, because we'll soon be joining the canal towpath to take us back into the hustle and bustle of Saltaire village centre. But until then, let's just revel in this beautiful landscape for just a few more moments. As another train goes by, we've made it onto the Leeds-Liverpool canal, which of course runs between Leeds and Liverpool. You didn't need me to tell you that. It runs straight through the village of Saltaire, so as we follow it back, we will find ourselves right in the heart of the village. But where we are at the moment is still quite rural. I'm stood next to a pair of lock gates. No action today, it's quite quiet on the canal, although the towpath is rather busy. There's plenty of people out for their morning walk. It's quite a nice vantage point here, because we're on the top of the locks looking down the valley. You can look directly down the canal back towards Saltaire, with the chimney of the mill and the spire of the church dominating the skyline, just peeping above the trees that line the banks of the canal. As we get closer to the village of Saltaire, they'll become a lot more prominent. In comparison to the river, it's quite man-made looking. The banks are lined with concrete, and of course the towpath on the left-hand side. And it's very linear as well, whereas the river was much more meandering. So we'll continue pretty much as the crow flies now, back towards Saltaire village. Some rather noisy black-headed gulls on my left-hand side now, which are inhabiting another cricket ground. There's actually two cricket grounds here in Saltaire, one at either side of the river. And then to the far side of that, there's also a few football pitches as well. So we can tell now that we're becoming a lot closer to the urban area of Saltaire. On my right-hand side, as well as the railway line, there's also the start of houses that have been fields up to this point. So we must be getting much closer to the village centre. There's a lovely view over to my left as well, beyond the cricket ground and the river, up onto the ridge of Shipley Glen, which is lined with trees, and then just a few fields of green poking out at the top that I can see. There's also a very busy bowling green on my left-hand side as well. It's one of the only bowling greens in this area that opens all year round. So even now, at the height of winter in the middle of December, it's hustling and bustling with people playing bowls. We've now made it into the heart of Saltaire, and the amazing United Reformed Church. Sir Titus Salt was a very religious man, so this building was probably as important as his great mill, which sits at the opposite side of the road. It's closed at the moment due to the current COVID-19 restrictions. It's bit of a shame that you can't go inside, really, because it is a really ornately decorated church. Of course, at the other side of the river, as the breeze picks up, we have the impressive salt mill building itself. Four floors towering into the sky, with a huge chimney towering even further as well. Of course, the sound and smell of the mill has now long gone, and in its place are bookshops, craft shops, and art gallery space. As I say, Saltaire has still held on to some of that quirky artisan culture that is so befitting of a place like this. As the trains keep coming thick and fast through Saltaire Station, it really is a busy line. You don't realise until you're right next door to it. We are now stood on the main street in the centre of Saltaire, which was the hub of the village, and I suppose to a certain extent it still is to this day. The mill and the church at the bottom of the hill, and as the road rises, we've got Victoria Hall on the left-hand side, which was another hub of recreation for the villagers, where they put on plays, had various different social events and dances. And then on the right-hand side, there's another old-looking building that's now part of Bradford College. And then behind all of these grand and ornate buildings are all the houses that were built for the workers. Closer to the mill, you've got quite large terraces, and then as you go further away, you get the through-by-light back-to-back terraces, where the villages were all split up in terms of their grade within the mill. So the more higher paid workers lived in the larger houses, and then the minnows were put into the smaller terraces further back in the village. Today it's seen as quite a desirable place to live, and of course with it being on this railway line, it's a prime commuter belt into the cities of Bradford and also Leeds. We've now crossed back over the river into Roberts Park, where we started the walk. And when we started, of course, it was beautiful blue sky with sun peeping through odd clouds and reasonably still, but now the breeze has picked up, it's clouded over quite considerably, and there's even spots of rain in the air, so it looks like we're coming to the end of this audio walk just at the right time. The skyline of the village with the mill building, the church, which are all sandstone coloured, to the Yorkshire stone sort of blackened buildings of the houses beyond, I can't help but think what it would have looked, smelt and sounded like back in its heyday, with the machines in the mill clattering away, the smoke filling the air from the fires in all of the houses. It just really does make me think to the past and think, if only I had a time machine, I'd love to go back and record an audio walk back in Sir Titus Salt's day. But unfortunately, we're going to have to pull ourselves out of this world now, and I'm going to head back to my car and head home for lunch and just revel in not just the beautiful wildlife and scenery that we've seen here on this audio walk today, but also the history that we've encountered as well. It really is a fascinating place, Saltaire, quite unique, and long may it continue to stay like that. I'd like to thank you all very much for joining me on this audio walk today. Until next time, have a great Christmas if I don't speak to you before then, and a happy new year to you all. If you want to hear more audio walks, then please check out opencountry.org.uk, where you'll find all of the ones that I've recorded so far. And with that final train, it's time to say goodbye.